It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Nolan drops his ball to deep center field. Take a good look. You won't see this one for long.
And we are here. As far as Nolan, not sure for how much longer. Chad Brown filling in for Brandon Stokely. One more day as Stokely gets inducted into the Louisiana State Hall of Fame. Chad, you and I have talked for the last 2 days about Nolan. And we've begun to speculate and speculate clearly. Or fairly, I should say. And I, this past week, said out loud into this microphone, I wonder if Nolan Arenado, in a deep recess of his mind, already has his mind made up on what he wants to do in terms of his future.
Mm-hmm.
When I read these quotes in The Athletic last night, I was taken back. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard what was said by now. But there's, of course, we have to reiterate. And by the way, this was said to Torin Berg of The Athletic. This is Nolan Arenado. Quote, I just get pissed because I don't want to lose anymore. I've only been to the playoffs once, and it was only one game. And I really want more than that. I'm tired of coming to the ballpark and losing. We work too hard as a group to experience that. I'm not saying I go home questioning, like, I don't like this place. I love it here. But yeah, I want to win. And the more we lose, the more if you lose all the time, no one wants to be there. What do you make of those comments?
Well, it's clear that this is not some type of veiled statement. I think he made his feelings quite clear. And the next statement that follows this would be, you know, over time, not exactly the next statement in the article, but yeah, it's time to move on. That's what he's saying. When you, as a superstar athlete, put these kind of words out there, the bridge may not be completely burned, but it's not a bridge you want to walk back on. You are looking to move on to new pastures.
And he knows full well what these quotes will ultimately mean concerning, like, the sentiment around him, right? He's a vet. He's a pro.
None of this is lost on him. He didn't get home and open up The Athletic and go, oh, my gosh, what did I say?
Right.
Maybe, was I taken out of context? I didn't mean it that way. When you say words like this, this is exactly what you mean. And in some ways, this is even slightly veiled, although it's pretty clear what he's trying to say.
Right. And I want to say subliminal, but you just sort of touched on it. It's not so subliminal. He goes on to say, quote, we can talk about it all we want. We've been talking about this since April. How are we going to turn it around? Blah, blah. We haven't yet. When he says that, there almost seems to be, you know, when you hear the blah, blah. Yeah, we've been talking about we're going to turn around, blah, blah. There's almost an indifference there as the backdrop to that, like, blah, blah statement.
Well, because he's been here long enough and he's heard how we're going to turn it around. He's heard new marketing slogans and he's heard all these different things that teams try to push out in front of you, this, you know, this shiny object to distract you from what's really happening. So it's all just blah, blah at this point. The bottom line for Nolan is winning. Anything else is just blah, blah. Wah, 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 wah. Charlie Brown's teacher.
Right. He goes on to say, we're only 7 or 8 games out of the division, and I feel like we've played absolutely terrible. They're in an awkward position, he said of the Colorado's front office. They're probably wondering. They probably don't know how to approach it right now. Only we know how to approach it, and that's winning ball games. Hopefully, we can put the pressure on them to go get guys. The more we win, the more they're going to have to make a move. There's urgency. There has to be. I know we're only at the halfway point, but we're not trying to lose ground. these other teams, they're going to pick up guys. The Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, the Giants. They're going to make moves if they're close. We have to stay close because we want to be able to compete with those teams. But the more ground we lose, we're going to be in trouble. They're going to be better, and we have to trust who we have in here because that's how the front office usually approach it. Again, ooh, Chad, ooh, that last one right there is throwing shade at the decision makers of the Rockies, in my opinion. That's how I took that.
Is it shade or is it truth? When you're comparing the aggressive Dodgers, clearly an aggressive front office. They go out and they spend money. They do things. They try to make things happen. So is he poking a jab at the Rockies front office, or is he just telling, hey, I see what this team does, and I see what our team does? Because there's a difference. This is on the line of both. There's definitely truth to this, and it's a jab, but it's not like, you know, we can't get it done. Our front office sucks. Just compare and contrast.
Right.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out how to measure this, because when he says something like that, they're going to be better, and we have to trust who we have here because that's how the front office usually approach it. They're not going to break the bank to bring in guys at the trade deadline, typically. Although I believe they did last year. Didn't they bring in Pat Neshek? I think they did that near the trade deadline a year ago. But traditionally, I think Nolan is right. But this doesn't necessarily have to be said out loud at this juncture in time about the front office. Or does it?
No. To your point, no. And to his point, he's saying, we know we're only halfway there. So do you want to be the guy that blows up the locker room when you are still in the running, when you still have a shot? From a leadership standpoint, from being, you know, the guy or being the man as he is, do you want to be that guy who divides it, who breaks it up, who has essentially thrown teammates under the bus and the front office?
Is he that's interesting that you just said that, throwing teammates under the bus by him saying the more we lose, the more we're going to be in trouble. These other teams are going to get better, but we have to trust who we have in here because the front office isn't going to traditionally bring in pieces. Is that throwing his teammates under, do you think?
Yeah.
To a degree?
And again, it's that fine line because he's telling the truth. But by telling the truth in this way at this time, it's kind of throwing your teammates under the bus.
And just for the record, they did trade for Pat Neshek last July. Nolan went on to say, quote, when you're losing, those weeks are harder because you're struggling and you feel like you're not contributing. And those hurt the most. You feel like you're hurting the team more than helping it. Quote, big picture, I know I am helping the team. I know I come to the park every day and work hard. I know my teammates appreciate that, just like I appreciate my teammates who might be struggling because they're working hard trying to find a way. They may not feel it, but I see it, and I appreciate it, but it does hurt. All of this, Chad, all of this, you read all the assortment of quotes. Is this a foregone conclusion about the future of Nolan Arenado? And if this does come to pass, would you blame Nolan for leaving, or would you hold it against him like a lot of fans do for Carmelo Anthony? I want to talk about that after the break.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Say goodbye to what we had.
Oh, man. Oh, man. These quotes from Nolan Arenado are rather ominous. Do you believe, Chad Brown, filling in for Brandon Stokely today, do you believe ultimately, at the end of the day, gathering the context of what you know, what we talked about yesterday, I believe I quoted Nolan Arenado has played in 750 now games for the Rockies, has played in one playoff game. And then that was a conversation we had yesterday. You combine that with these quotes from The Athletic on how he's, quote, pissed off about losing. He's tired of it, tired of coming to the ballpark every day and losing. Ultimately, is Nolan Arenado a member of the Colorado Rockies beyond next year?
No. No. It's hard to go back when you've expressed your disappointment publicly now a couple of different times and slightly ramping up your disappointment each time it's discussed.
That's a good point, and I don't mean to interrupt, but since you referenced that, the context here, the other puzzle pieces in addition to these quotes is that Nolan has said that he wants to play for a winner before the season. He wants to win big. He's also said on a separate occasion that he doesn't want to be the next Todd Helton. He doesn't, you know, doesn't seem like he values as high as we think that someone might of breaking the bank or being known as the great player in franchise history. He just wants to win. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, when you ramp up your statements and your frustration is building, that makes me think as if, you know, you've already kind of made up your mind. You're kind of holding back your words. You're couching your words a little bit, but your frustration builds, so you can't help but be a little bit more pointed each time this discussion comes up. Now, obviously, after this article, he's going to be asked about it. So it'll be very interesting to see what his reaction is to his own, article. You know what I mean? Does he backpedal up a little bit? Does he stand firm? Does he double down? We are going to find out. But in the end, when these kind of things start to go this way, the player has lost faith in ownership in the front office, expressed frustration with them, frustration with his teammates. Yeah, he's looking around the league. He's calling his friends. He's trying to figure out what's a better situation. Because he's heard how they're going to make the situation better here far too many times to believe it.
Right.
So
words at this point, after you have the sample size of you know, year after year, Nolan's been here for 6 years now. Words can't mean a whole hell of a lot.
Well, it's his quote of blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That's what he's saying. You've said a lot. You haven't done a whole lot. So blah, blah, blah. Say whatever you want to say. I'm trying to win. And I'm going to go find a winner.
She's gone.
I hope that's not the case. Nolan is pointing to a desire to win. And the reason that I bring up Carmelo Anthony is because Carmelo Anthony did the same thing. He said he wanted a chance to win in New York. Ultimately, he had a better chance to win here, looking back at him, than he ever did in New York. But it was painted, Chad, as a selfish move, and a large contingent of this community and just regionally, the surrounding areas as well, view Melo in a negative light, and he's disliked for it. Will this be viewed the same? How much different or the same do you view that scenario with this scenario with Nolan Arenado?
I think the perception of Nolan Arenado, and I don't go over there and watch BP every day and all that stuff, so it's my perception and based on what I've heard from other people, that he does everything he can. He's a very hard-working guy, working his bat skills, working his fielding skills. He's a complete player. There's not a part of his game that is lacking. So for a guy who gives it all, works to be the best he possibly can be, lays it on the line each and every time he plays, to want to go someplace else to win, in my mind, that's okay. Versus Melo, well, what was the defensive effort? Did you really follow George Karl's game plans? You know, the ball went into you and it went into a black hole. You didn't run the rest of the offense. So it's a little different. Yes, you are a talented player and most likely the best player in franchise history. But the parts of your game that were lacking, and then you say you want to go someplace else and win, it's like, well, how come you just didn't stay here and work on your own game? Versus Nolan's got a complete well-rounded game versus Melo's, which was only focused on scoring the football, the basketball, not being a great teammate, not playing defense, not those kind of things. So it's easier to paint Melo with that brush based on who he was as a player versus trying to paint Nolan Arenado as selfish because of who he is as a player.
We're getting some interesting reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line. Hit us up, guys, 303 303- 713-1043. There's a big difference between Arenado and Melo situation. Carmelo left to try to get rings after we had been highly successful and were in the playoffs for multiple years. Arenado has had one playoff game, and it was a stupid play-in game. They need to give him a chance at stardom because he deserves it. This complete failure of a franchise here in Colorado, I will never understand. That's from Kevin in Aurora. Is Nolan fair to fear this feel this way?
Yes. Yes. When he signed here 6 years ago, he didn't sign up to be mediocre. They didn't sell him on, you know what, we'll be right around that playoff bubble. Maybe we'll get a play-in game. Maybe we won't. That's what we're looking for. That's the program we want to have. Come over here and sign up with us. He was sold a bill of goods that hasn't come true. We're going to build a winner. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. They haven't done those things. He's laid out his end of the bargain. He's fulfilled that. The front office hasn't given him back what he was promised when he signed here.
RamosLaw.com text says Nolan wants to win. Melo wanted to be famous. Here's an interesting question. If Nolan Arenado played for the Yankees and had an identical run in New York that he's had team success-wise and personal success-wise here in Denver, would we be hearing, do you think, the same type of sentiment, or would he be rather just a little bit more content because he's in market number one?
At some point, if you are a true competitor, nothing else matters other than winning. So even, you know, to be a New York Yankee and all that comes with that and all the endorsement opportunities and the elevated platform that the Yankees have, even that's not going to be enough if you truly want to win. If that's who you are inside, a guy who plays the game because I love the game, but I love winning. And that's what motivates me. That's what gets me out of bed every day is the fact that I can contribute to a winning effort. Even being a Yankee is not going to be enough for that guy.
This is a fascinating point here because Arenado had the chance to become the brightest star in the history of the franchise. Still does. Just piecing together what direction this is trending. Interesting stuff. We'll table this for a second. My weekend is made, Chad.
You got some good news.
Unusual a twist of events. You yes. and I were doing a show last year, probably right around this time.
Yeah.
We were doing a show, and your phone rang during a break, and you were like, who is this? Like, type of thing. You answer the phone in front of me, and sure as hell, it was CU calling to tell you that you were going into their Hall of Fame. And I was just watching it like, this is the coolest thing ever. Now, I was never the athlete someone like you or Alford or Stoke or Pritch was. But right before we went on the air, my phone rang and I was like, what is this number? I picked it up. It's the old AD from my high school.
Nice.
Telling me that I've been inducted into the Hall of Fame, or I will be inducted into the Hall of
Fame. That is so awesome, man. That is so awesome. I know we're up on the break, so I want to get your... Everyone's always asked, you know, the questions about, you know, the athletes, how we feel about those moments. And not to say you're not an athlete, but we get the chance to hear what your thoughts, reactions, emotions will be to this very moment.
Yeah. And we will do that. We will do that. But first, Chad, there's something that we have speculated about, we have asked about, and we have doubted was ever going to happen. It's happening. With the Denver Broncos, I tell you exactly what's going on when we come back. Chad, it's happening. It's all happening. You ever seen Almost Famous? It's all happening. No? It's a good one. It's a good one. Trust me.
Is that the one Cameron Crowe movie? The high school, the kid goes on the journey with the band?
Correct.
Goes on the road with them?
Correct.
Okay, I've seen clips. I have not seen the whole movie yet.
Invest an hour and 45 minutes. Really, really good. It's all happening, Chad. Passing camp. We got a passing camp.
Yes.
Woohoo!
D-Mac will be so happy.
Passing camp equals Super Bowl 10 times out of 10.
Hashtag.
I tell you a truth.
According to Nikki Jabala of The Athletic, good friend of the show, she tweeted just about an hour before we went on the air. Quote, Case Keenum and the Broncos receivers and tight ends didn't go to Houston or Phoenix. They've been having throwing sessions at a local high school per source. And because I'm just the work ethic is just off the charts, I went and found a Emmanuel Sanders video on his Instagram page. And there they are, foot firing, running routes, catching passes from Case Keenum. Marlon Brown was there, who's no longer a member of the football team. Case, Emmanuel, what do you make of it?
As we talked about before, this is absolutely the right move to do. You know, I would like to see the NFL's youngest group of running backs be invited. They could have got a lot out of these less formal sessions. And as we talked about before, these are such great sessions because they give you the opportunity to kind of talk your way through certain things. Everyone's got a different style of learning. Everyone's got a different way of understanding things. And so often with the pace of practices and coaches and meetings and walkthroughs, you may not get that particular nugget the way that's best for you to receive it. Some guys learn on paper. Some guys need to watch film. Some guys need to do a walkthrough. Some guys need to do it on air. You know, so it's all these different ways guys learn. This gives these guys an opportunity to go there and pick each other's brains. Ask questions. How are you seeing this? How is this working for you? Because it's a much less stressful time, a much more relaxed atmosphere. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's the right thing to do. It's going to pay dividends. Does it make them, does it go, you know, hashtag passing camp equals Super Bowl? No, it doesn't. But it certainly helps.
It is noteworthy that just from the information that I've gathered, I did not see Demaryius there. I did not see any of the running backs there. It looked like there was about four guys there. Case Keenum, Emmanuel Sanders, Marlon Brown, former Broncos receiver, and there was one other, and I don't know exactly who that is. Steven, if you could try to, are you on, if you could try to find who that fourth guy was. You on Instagram, Chad?
I'm not.
You're not on Instagram?
No.
I thought you were.
Dude, I won't be 50 in 2 years.
Yeah, all right. Stinks on it. You got to get yourself an Instagram account. I think you would like it. I do. I think you would like it. Videos, postings. Anyway, hit me up at ZBuy23 if you're on. Does it, how are we supposed to quantify this? That there's from what I know, one Broncos receiver there, the Broncos quarterback, Case Keenum, Emmanuel Sanders, but it's not the, and look, I don't want to nitpick here because I'm glad that they're doing something, but at the same time, there's no Demaryius, there's no Jake Butt, there's no running backs. Would you hope that eventually they do get together, or is this just, is this kind of good enough for you that, you know, they're making an effort and whatnot?
I appreciate the effort. I see the effort, but it's, if you got to grade it, you got to put an incomplete on it because it's not a majority of the group. It's not the same without having a majority of the group there. If you don't have Cortland Sutherland picking Emmanuel Sanders and DT's brain in an informal setting, then it doesn't have the same impact. If Philip Lindsay doesn't get to ask Case Keenum, what does he want on this flare route, it doesn't have the same impact. It's awesome that some guys are getting together, but this is, if the picture that we have at this point of one quarterback and four guys, if that's it, then this is not a passing camp. Some guys got together to work out and throw a football.
Right.
It's not, you can't call it a camp. A camp is something where most guys participate. People come in from, you know, wherever they went to, they come back to get together for a specific purpose over 3 or 4 days to really work through these things and have these kind of discussions that I've been talking about. If it's one quarterback and four guys, it is not that what we were hoping for.
You want to know what? Now that you're saying that out loud and you have me thinking a little bit, I think I may have to agree. I'm seeing Philip Lindsay as the other guy tagged. So it looks like Philip Lindsay, Marlon Brown, Case Keenum, along with Emmanuel. And that it can be easily found on his Instagram story. You want to know what? And Ozzy just asked it on the RamosLaw.com text line. Is it really a passing camp if only Sanders is there? Good point. And I think one other guy would have tipped the scales for me that I would walk away from this like very satisfied. gratified is that if Demaryius was there, because those are his top two targets. I would love the running backs there, and I think the tight end would need to be there too, so maybe amend that. But I would love for DT to be there, because those are targets number one and number two. And throw in Jake Butt or Heuerman. I would like to see that as well, because now that you say it and you frame it that way, Chad, I think you're right, and I need to maybe back off my congratulatory spirit right now, the fact that they're getting together this time of year when they don't have to. I guess that's a plus for Emmanuel and Case, but at the same time, there's a lot missing, pretty much everything else. I mean, we don't know if Phillip Lindsay is going to make the team, and we know Marlon Brown isn't a part of this football team anymore. So one guy for sure that's going to be in the mix was there with Case. So
that's not enough. It's just simply not enough. And again, this could just be some guys getting together, working out, and this camp could be next week over the holiday. I mean, there's still plenty of opportunity for these guys to get together. So I'm not saying it's absolutely done, but this is not it. This is just some guys working out, which you should do at this point pretty much every day in preparation for training camp. So it's hard to issue congratulations for something that you're supposed to do. That whole Chris Rock line, I can't give you credit for things you're supposed to do. I take care of my kids. You're supposed to take care of your kids. I'm working out. You're a professional football player. Training camp starts in like 27 days. You're supposed to be working out.
What did off seasons look like for you?
I started training usually the Monday after the Super Bowl.
So you took the time off between your last either regular season or playoff loss to after the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I was with the Seahawks, so we didn't have very much playoff deep forays into the playoffs when I was there. So that made it, I got enough of a break and was able to hit the ground running after the Super Bowl. And you kind of phase your way through the offseason. There's that first phase, which is kind of just rehabbing, yep, getting everything working back right. Then you want to prepare. It used to be for mini camps. There was always a mini camp around mid to late April. And then, you kind of ramped your offseason up as you went along. And then after that last mandatory mini camp, we typically, as a family, took some kind of vacation, because that was, when I had enough mental space to take a break. But I was not going to do that a week before training camp or 2 weeks before training camp. It had to be right after mandatory mini camp. I had to know where we were going. I had to know what the workout facilities were going to be. I mean, it would drive my family crazy. We just want to go on vacation, Dad. Yeah, but I got work to do.
Yeah.
I got work to do. And they drafted a linebacker this year, guys. I don't know if you know that. And he makes 10 times less than I do. So I've got to be 10 times better than that kid they brought in so I can keeping you guys in braces in private schools, okay? So stop sweating Dad about what he's got to do.
You like straight teeth?
You like that private school you're going to? Yeah, so don't give Dad a hard time. And then, right after mandatory minicamp, vacation, and then get back in town and then just start grinding back away. So when I show up to training camp, I am ready to roll day one.
Would you get together with your teammates like Case and Emmanuel or now, or were you just an independent operator?
I always came back to Colorado in the off season. So, there was very few Steeler teammates here or Seahawk teammates or Patriot teammates here in town. But I would get together with, Lauren Landau, and there were always other guys training there. So it was not just me, a solo adventure. There'd be four or five other guys working out in the same group with Lauren. And, if it's Bo Scaife, longtime guy with the Houston Texans, played 10 years in the NFL as a tight end. Bo and I would get together with Lauren and do some work together.
At the end of the day, will you be disappointed if this thing doesn't go down with more teammates? If this is all, and it's an isolated incident, if you will, that Phillip Lindsay, Marlon Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, and Case Keenum, but that's it. Only one guy firmly in the plan, Case and, I guess Emmanuel. If that's it.
As we talked about the other day, there are all-time greats who do this. And would you like to be an all-time great? Then do what all-time greats do. If Tom Brady's getting together with his receivers and tight ends and backs, then find a way to do just that. Be like that guy. Follow that example. Sure worked for him. Might work for you.
Might work for you. Yep, the examples are across the league. And we talked about it, I think it was Wednesday, where you can point to older players, Joe Flacco, Tom Brady, who did you just say? I guess you just said Brady, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at young guys and throw Eli in that older group, too, who has passing camp. And then you have young guys, Patrick Mahomes, Andrew Luck having passing camps as well. Look, this is a good thing, I believe. I think it's a good thing that they're out there. They're working. Emmanuel is working his rear end off. If you see the video, he is working. I mean, that dude is putting in the work right now. So for all the complaints that we have about Emmanuel being, maybe not necessarily the great teammate and things like that, there's one thing that you can never say about Emmanuel is that he doesn't work hard. Can't say that. Out there at practice, there's always one guy working to the side, Emmanuel Sanders. During the mini camp, I saw him first in every line, kind of setting the pace for everyone else behind him. And I'm already seeing it on the RamosLaw.com text line, only Sanders there, is he trying to make his other teammates look bad? Sanders has this thing around him. Maybe D-Mac has something to do with it sort of driving that wedge a little bit, maybe a little bit more firm than it needs to be driven, but maybe not. I don't know.
Emmanuel doesn't help himself with some of the things that he says. But to your point, the actions of being a hardworking guy are incredibly clear. So what does a coach want? I want hardworking players. Not want hardworking guys who are willing to sacrifice themselves for the benefit of the team. So we would have an issue there. But the prerequisite of being a hardworking guy, he meets that all the time. I don't know if you saw the Chris Harris Jr. video of him working out.
I didn't. Where was that?
I saw it on Twitter. Maybe Nikki tweeted that one out a couple of days ago.
Okay, I missed that.
But there was a group of DBs, and they were backpedaling uphill in Houston. It was like 100-plus degrees outside.
Right.
And I believe it was Nikki, so they had been doing it for over an hour.
Wow.
So, again, these guys grind. This is that time of year that makes a huge difference. The off seasons are structured so differently than when I was a player. So now is that time where they got to grind and put a lot of work in to show up training camp ready to roll.
What's the percentage of guys that on training camp day one are in great shape and you can tell that they've been working, and other guys who get into shape during training camp?
I would say it's higher now of guys who are in shape on day one than when I played. Guys,
any reason for that?
I just think the offseason allows you to kind of ramp yourself up through the offseason. We had so many mini camps and stuff like that. And teams were allowed to, essentially force you to work out at that facility. It's just a different era. And I think the players, the training methods are better. Recovery methods are better. So there's more tools at your disposal to show up in shape and show up healthy than there were when I was playing. It was a little bit more old school then. But there's always going to be guys, there's going to be 25 to 30% of guys who are going to get blisters somewhere in the first week, which is a clear indicator you haven't been working very hard.
No calluses.
Yeah, if you're getting blisters, you haven't been working very hard. So I had a teammate in Seattle who got blisters every year, and I'd think, we all can see what's happening here, man. Then you get blisters, then you miss 4 or 5 days. So then you're further behind. You never really hit the ground running when the regular season starts. You get off to a slow start. You don't round into shape until somewhere around week 6 or 7. That doesn't help us, man. That doesn't help us. So the guys who get blisters, the guys who get, receivers and DBs are going to be prone to hamstring pulls early in camp. But if it's a different position, he's got a hamstring pull. It typically means you weren't running full speed, working out very hard. All those kind of soft tissue injuries at the beginning of camp indicates you weren't doing either enough work or the right kind of work.
Someone on the RamosLaw.com text line says, Antonio Brown and Big Ben don't get together during the offseason, and they're arguably the best duo in the game. My initial response to that would be those guys have been playing together for the better part of a decade and might need it a whole hell of a lot less than the guys here in Denver. There's no continuity here in Denver. Emmanuel Sanders has caught in zero career passes from Case Keenum. Demaryius Thomas has caught in zero career passes from Case Keenum. Jake Butt has just caught in zero career passes. Royce Freeman has caught in zero career passes. So I think the importance of it is different, Herm, who sent that RamosLaw.com text in. Herm, I think the importance at this particular point in time for specifically the Broncos and this now offensive core, because there's no track record, none. There's no, if I can use calluses between the group. They haven't never worked consistently together. I think the importance of it would be higher here. And just, first of all, do you agree with that?
Oh, I absolutely agree with what you're saying. You know, Herm, you're always going to be able to find an aberration to anything. But why not follow what, if you're going to consider Tom Brady and Peyton Manning two of the top three quarterbacks of all time, you know, the order could change. You could have, you know, Joe Montana in there or somebody else. But I think pretty much everyone's going to say two of the top three.
I'd co-sign that.
They have passing camps almost every single year.
Right.
Why not be like those guys? And if you put Joe Montana in that picture, you think he and Jerry Rice didn't get together as much of a work fanatic as Jerry Rice was?
Right.
And then to go back to Antonio Brown, I've probably seen more Antonio Brown workout footage on social media than perhaps any other player in the last couple of years. That guy goes hard all the time and works incredibly hard. Not to say that Emmanuel and DT don't, but I don't think anyone could ever say that Antonio Brown's not at least in the top two or three hardest working wide receivers in the game. Could you say that about DT or Emmanuel? I don't know if you could. Antonio Brown proves it on the field all the time.
Yeah, the situations couldn't be any different. I'm getting heat for saying cotton and just said a cot. Guys, come on now. Come on now. What are we doing?
Is this
It says Zach, cot is plural already. Cotton isn't a word.
Cotton balls?
Yeah, well,
Zach's the perfect guy because he is a grinder and he's on every day.
Yes. Thank you, Vance. Someone else says cotton. Cotton balls? Come on, guys. It's Friday. Take it easy.
Is this sports radio? Is this English class? What are we doing?
Right. It's 3 hours. I'm gonna screw up occasionally. So look, it's a nice thing. I would look for more. But today, if you were to say, hey, is this a good thing or a bad thing that's going down? I would say it's a good thing.
I absolutely say it's a good thing. But if you're asking me to grade this on a passing camp scale, it's incomplete because you don't have enough players there.
Right.
But it's still a good thing that these guys are getting together.
Where are they at? I saw the video. It's a high school field. It looks like there's red in or around that maybe the red could be a part of the color scheme. There's a white bubble near the bleachers. So it's a school that's got good facilities, but it's not Valor. Someone help us out.
I think I know what school it is.
Cherry Creek?
I think it's Regis.
Mm. Okay. If you have seen Emmanuel's Instagram video story and you have any idea and you want to confirm that, hit us up. Chad Brown filling in for Brandon Stokely today. I cannot believe the comments that I heard from just a couple minutes ago or really that I read from Dan Gilbert. Owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, this dude...
Keep it classy, Dan.
Cannot stay out of his own way.
Nope.
So he has reportedly said that he wants LeBron James to leave the Cavs. Yes, I did say that right. The owner of the Cavs wants one of the five greatest basketball players who's still in his prime to leave the Cavs because, quote, I'll get my team back.
If you have hate in your heart, let it out.
Unbelievable. Stephen A. Smith said, quote, according to a couple of owners I've spoken to and few executives I've spoken to, Dan Gilbert is known for not being particularly fond of LeBron James. He doesn't mind the thought of LeBron James leaving at all. As a matter of fact, I had one executive tell me, quote, excuse me, I can't wait until he leaves because I'll get my team back, end quote. This is something Dan Gilbert has actually echoed. That is an exact quote from my sources that said Dan Gilbert said that, end quote. That's from Stephen A. Smith.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Oh, man.
What do you make of that, Chad? I mean, it didn't seem like this thing was ever healed between the two. but it had maybe scabbed over, maybe scar tissue was starting to form. Yeah, that guy just got ripped off.
You know how during the course of a season, you're going to come in here and say, well, you know, games sometimes are lost instead of won. You've got literally the greatest player on the planet, and you're the owner, and you can't figure out how to manage that situation. A guy who has never gotten in any off-the-court trouble, who came directly into the NBA from high school, has literally been one of the greatest stories in the NBA history, one of the greatest athletes turned into businessmen, entrepreneurs in sports history, has been an amazing, what's the Charles Barkley quote? Role model. Has been an amazing role model. Does all these things right, yet you can't find a way to get along with him. And you're such Aesop's fables and sour grapes that you're going to literally throw him under the bus and your franchise under the bus because of your inability to control your feelings. It's fascinating.
It's mind-boggling.
It really is mind-boggling. It really is. And to your point, the dude has had a microscope under him since he's been 15.
No baby's mamas.
No baby's mamas. No domestic charge. No DWI. No public intoxication. No lewdness.
Caught with weed in the airport. Caught with a gun in his car. None of that.
Simple charges.
Yeah.
Never stabbed anyone for a place in the barber chair. None of that.
Or crab legs.
Or crab legs. Oh, my goodness. Chad, I'll give you a tangible number. Check this out. A tangible number why you can fairly be optimistic about the Broncos winning big in 2018. And I'll give it to you next.